the sermon text from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I feel like just about every week when we sing our hymns, I get to say, oh, that one's one of my favorites. Right? And the same thing here this morning. That two lines of the last verse. Now rise, faint hearts, be resolute. This man is Christ, our substitute. Those words kind of get to me. And I have to admit that. And I really prize them because, the truth be told, sometimes I get frustrated being a Christian. I get very frustrated with it because it doesn't go the way I think it should go. And I'm not nearly as good at it as I want to be at being a Christian. Fact of the matter is, I'm a sinner, and I live in a sinner's world. And St. Paul tells me, I've died to sin. Really? Because I sure don't feel like it. And a whole bunch of times, I sure don't act like it. But he says, I've died to sin and no more live in it. I still sin, though, and that truly is the reality of my earthly existence. How about you? Do you still have the battle going on? I mean, honestly, I hope you do, because that means you're fighting against your sins. If there is no battle going on in your life against sin, that likely means that you're lost. Still, I'd really like that theology of glory. You know, the theology of glory that says, in every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. But it's not so. It's not really happening. As I've mentioned before, you know, one of our seminary professors had said in class, the mark of a mature Christian is not that they sin less, it's that they begin to understand just how much they really do sin. You see, I won't be perfected this side of heaven. I still fight my sins, and I still fail at fighting my sins. And that's all true, but that's going to happen this side of heaven. But you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm pretty okay living in the tension. That's one of the geniuses, I think, of being a Missouri Synod Lutheran. We're pretty comfortable living in the tension of saint and sinner at the exact same time, of the yes and the no, of being a citizen of heaven now, but not being there yet. We do all right at living in that tension. Like the Apostle Paul says, the good I would, I do not do, and that which I do not wish to do, I constantly find myself doing. But the Apostle Paul also says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Well, that's a good question. How do we get to be in Christ then? How are we this new creation? Well, today it is before us. Before us today are two baptisms. There's Christ's baptism and your own baptism. They're not the same, these two baptisms. But in the fight, in the struggle, that's good news for us. Both of these baptisms are good news for you. In Jesus' baptism, Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And two things are going on here. First, here it is that in the Jordan River, God is beginning the work of the new creation, beginning the work of recreating the world, and the age of the Messiah has begun. Jesus, the Son of God, steps into the breach. He has, and the picture I had as I was thinking about this in my head, and I don't know why. Do you remember that song, Big John, right? And how did that song end? The mine started to cave in, and Big John stood up and held the beams up for everybody else while they could escape. But it cost Big John his life. He stood at the bottom of the mine, keeping it from collapsing on all the men. Jesus is every last stand. Jesus is everyone who's ever traded his life for the life of others. But there's a big difference, and the difference is that we could trade our lives for one life, maybe perhaps for a few life, and even if we did that, we could never give eternal life to somebody else. Jesus, he trades his life for the life of the world. And he does give eternal life. So to understand the Christian good news, you really have got to understand a couple of different things. First is the magnitude of sin and the baptism of Jesus. Because Jesus here in the Jordan River takes humanity's place. It's he who's going to absorb all the wrath of God in our place because of God's anger over sin. And that's the magnitude of sin. It costs the life of God. And so your sin, my sins, all our sins really are no small thing. They're absolutely and amazingly large and humongous. Jesus stands in solidarity with sinful humanity. Jesus stands under the wrath of God in our place. The wrath of God will culminate in the crucifixion of Golgotha for the sins of the world. And Jesus takes his place as a sinner alongside of sinners, even though he himself had committed no sin. And Jesus subjects himself to the fire of divine wrath, and he will atone for the sins of the world. When Jesus steps into the Jordan River, he's taking up that mission. He's taking up that job of what he's going to do, what he was born to do. Christian baptism, your baptism, also gives you the Holy Spirit. And it connects you with Jesus' work upon the cross. And if we want to meditate, and Christian meditation is thinking about things, thinking them through, thinking on them deeply. Let's meditate and think on and ponder that you, in fact, are connected through your baptism to the work of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your baptism is connected with the total redemptive action which Jesus set in motion. In Jesus' baptism, the Holy Trinity was there. In your baptism, the Holy Trinity is present also. And it's wonderful to be reminded of these things, especially when we're frustrated about our own Christian faith, when we're frustrated about our own Christian walk and our own Christian life. It's always good to be reminded that your baptism unites you with Christ and gives you the Holy Spirit in such a way that what the Father says of Jesus Christ, he also says is to every person who has been connected to Christ in the waters of holy baptism. And it's this: this is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus earned your salvation. In your baptism, Jesus has given you what he earned for you. Now, I'm sure that you know that when you are baptized into Jesus' death. And wow, what a miracle. What a divine act that is, that you yourself were baptized into Jesus' death. Right? It looks so ordinary. Water, word, a person. And then there's eternal life. It's like wind and waves, a great storm, and the God-man simply says, quiet, be still, and it happens. It's like just somebody quietly saying, Lazarus, come forth, and it works, and it does, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. Take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood. Drink of it, all of you. God speaks, and it is so. Go and make disciples of all nations. How do you do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the way disciples of Christ are well and truly made. And through baptism, you partake of Christ in the fruit of his death. You are given faith. And faith is nothing less than a personal contact with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are made new. That's what's happened to you. You have put on the second Adam. It's like at that very moment, it was Christ suffering and dying on the cross for one such as you. Right? And you were died and buried with Christ. You are given new life, and this new life is now your present reality. Many times up here, I know I've said when we look at each other, we ought to look at each other as someone whom Christ died for. That's how we are to look at each other. And sometimes I feel like if I say it often enough, I'm going to actually do it or actually come to believe it. Right? Because it's hard to do that. It's hard to see individuals that way. And I wonder if you see yourself that way. So instead of looking at somebody else and saying, that's somebody Jesus died for. When you go look in a mirror, look at that mirror and look at those eyes and that nose and that face and that hair and say, there. Right there is a person that Jesus died for. And that person is me. And in Christ, you died too. You have spiritually died with Christ. You have passed through a death. You have died to sin. You really and truly are totally dead to sin. So if you understand the magnitude of sin, then you're really going to get the magnitude of your own baptism. And if you have been united with Christ in your baptism, you have been planted together with Him in a death like His, then what? Right? What's the point of it? And St. Paul goes on to tell us, if you have been united with Him in a death like His, you will most certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Now, your death and your resurrection are not the same as Jesus' death and resurrection. God made Jesus to be sin in your place for you. Jesus bore all your sin and every other person's sin, the sin of all who have ever been and the sin of all who will ever be. He is the Savior. His death separated you from the power and the guilt of sin itself. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead permanently. And because of His resurrection, my friends, you too will rise from the grave. You see, in every single way, every possible way, Jesus, He's on your side. He cut you off from sin. He gives you newness of life. He will raise and glorify your body on the last day. You know, I led off by saying this morning that I know I'm in a desperate fight every day with my old Adam. And you are quite aware that you too are in that fight. I'm confident that you know that. I know that I was born spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and spiritually an enemy of God. That's my old man. That's my old Adam. But what has happened to that old Adam? That old Adam has been crucified with Christ. And what has been crucified has died. So my old sinful nature has been killed in such a way so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Your old sinful nature has been killed, put to death, murdered in such a way that you would no longer be a slave to sin. And I think that's the pain of the fight. Because sin desires to re-encase you in its shackles. And you are refusing to go back into its bondage. Now that's a bitter fight, to not be drawn into the bondage of sin after you have been freed. Christ bore the sins of the world. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin in your place. Jesus took the curse of the law upon Himself. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," Jesus had no more to do with sin. Ever since He was made alive, He's had nothing more to do with the bearing of sin or to atoning for it. Through your baptism, you also have died to sin. Through your baptism, you receive the fruits of Christ's death. And it can be said of you, the one who has died has truly been freed from sin. So let's finish with this. If the wages of sin is death, then the gift of God is eternal life. If we've died with Christ, then we believe that we will certainly live with Him. And there, as the tagline says, that's to keep you going medicine. That's what's going to keep you fighting until the day Christ calls you to glory. You see, you're a Christian. And as a Christian, you firmly believe that you're never going to die. He who lives and believes in me, says Jesus, will never die. And that's it. You're just not going to die. As St. Paul says, for me to die, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Jesus, the power and the threat of death, it has been conquered for you and in your place. And even right now, the power and the threat of death is gone forever. For you, the believer, death is not dying. It simply means everlasting life. As the hymn writer said, He lives, and I will conquer death. Which leads us all to say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.